You got a goodly heritage. You need to thank God. There may be some that say, well, I don't have one, but if you have a family, you need to leave a goodly heritage. You need to leave something for them that they can say that I had a dad and I had a mom and I had grandparents that stood for God. Amen? Take your Bibles from the book of Mark. Brother Brent Logan doesn't stay over on Sundays. He stays at his church, and I had originally asked him to finish up family revival this morning, and God laid a message on my heart, though, earlier in the week, and I didn't really understand fully why until I understood that he wasn't preaching this morning, so I felt like God would have me do this morning. I know Brother Daniel's here, and I was very tempted to ask him to preach. It's nice getting a break sometimes, but God laid this message on my heart, I think, for our church, for our homes, and so we're going to look at this morning. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6, if you would. And when you find your place, if you would, say amen. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to look at several verses here. This is the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. We also find parallel scriptures in other Gospels. And Matthew chapter number 14 covers it. And we'll go over there maybe and look at some portions of this story in just a moment. But Mark chapter 6 and verse number 17 is where we're going to pick it up. And what we find here is that Herod had heard about Jesus Christ preaching, and he heard about some things that was going on and the miracles that was taking place. And Herod, in the previous verses right before this point, he thought John the Baptist had come back from the dead. And he had John's head taken off, and we're going to look at this story. That's what this is right here. But he had his head taken off, and then he heard Jesus was preaching, and he was scared to death that John had come back from the dead. If you killed a Baptist preacher and thought he came back from the dead, it'd probably be a little bit scary. Amen? And I'm sure there's many people that wish the Baptist preacher was dead. But if he came back from the dead, that would be a scary thing. And that's what he thought. And so he's recalling here what had taken place for him to be beheaded. In verse number 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. And she's not the first to have a problem with the preacher, and she definitely won't be the last. And would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, and in holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. So, Brother Andrew, what does this have to do with the home? I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But we find here the beheading of John the Baptist. There's a few characters that we find in our text. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of cast that's here in our text. The first one we find is the Baptist preacher. It is John the Baptist. And thank God for a preacher that preached against sin. He was preaching against the fact that Herod had his brother's wife. And it doesn't say that his brother was dead. It appears that he just had somebody else's wife. And John the Baptist was not afraid, even though he was the king, to preach against sin. And I'm thankful for preachers that aren't afraid to preach against sin, no matter how unpopular it is. He preached against sin. He didn't care if it was the king. He said, "You're not doing right." So we find the Baptist preacher. He preached on sin. We find that John preached about the Savior. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He wasn't afraid to preach on salvation. He wasn't afraid to preach the Savior. He wasn't afraid to preach against separation. He was not afraid to preach against sin. And thank God for a preacher that's willing to do that. So we find the Baptist preacher. Not only that, in this text we find a birthday boy. We find King Herod. But what do we know about King Herod? We know that he was submissive to his wife. We know that King Herod would do anything to obey his wife. We understand that he was more afraid of his wife than he was the preacher. We understand that he committed adultery and fornication with his brother's wife. These are things that we know about Herod. We're living in a day where people are sinning openly. Brother Daniel talked about some of that. And they're not afraid to sin openly. If they don't like their wife, they just go get another one. If they're not happy, they'll just go get another one. They'll take their family and completely dismiss them for whatever they please. That's the day we're living in. The Bible said, Proverbs 6:32, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." If you're married and if you have children and you decide to step out on your spouse, now you've got two women problems. And you're creating havoc in the home. There's families that are destroyed all the time. Lacketh understanding. We find some things out about Herod. We find that he was submissive to his wife. We find out that he committed adultery and fornication with his brother's wife. This man just wasn't a good moral man. Another thing we find out about the birthday boy, King Herod, is he had a problem with women. He had a problem with women. Look there in verse number 22. "When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod." This man had a woman problem. There's men today, this has been going on a long time, but that have women problems. Amen? I knew this wouldn't be a shouting down, hallelujah, glory to God message. But we find the birthday boy had some women problems. He took one look at her and he said, "Whatever you want to half the kingdom, it's yours." He had a problem with women. You know that the porn industry is one of the most lucrative for the world that there is. I mean, billions of billions of billions of dollars. And there's men sitting at home just sitting there paying. All these young ladies today, they're creating all these accounts where people can go follow them, and they're just paying them all this money. And why? They've got a problem. King Herod had a problem. He had a problem with women. The Bible said in Matthew 5:28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And I'm afraid that even in some churches, we've got men that have a problem with this. They've got a problem with looking and lusting. You can't go out in public and not see nudity. It's everywhere. the way people dress today. You look out and you see it. You can't help it. Brother Daniel talked this morning at the hotel about having to have his boys lower their eyes. Man, you got to do that everywhere you go. It is prevalent and all over the place. I tell you, you better have God in your life. And you better have a desire to want to please Him, because the devil is constantly sending temptations out. We find the Baptist preacher. We find the birthday boy. The birthday boy that was submissive to his wife, and he was committing adultery, and he just had a problem with women. I mean, he was willing to give her anything. You hear stories of these CEOs and these guys in big companies that have a family, but then they have another family. Why? They just got a problem. They got a problem. And young ladies, man, you better pray that God sends you somebody that loves God. As a preacher preached the other night, that loves God. And I'm here to tell you that if a young man is willing to step out on his wife for you, he'll do it to you. It will not stop with you, I promise. Amen. Stuff hard to cover sometimes, but it needs to be covered. So we find in our text these characters. We have a Baptist preacher. We have a birthday boy. We have a brawling woman. We have a brawling woman in our text. Who is this? It was Herodias. My dad preached not long ago during shotgun preaching, "Don't be a Herodias." We have a brawling woman. We find out about this woman that she's a loose woman. I mean, King Herod shows up, and I don't know how he was compared to Philip, but it didn't matter. He was the king. He probably was more wealthy, and now she's with him. And we find out that it appears she's okay with it. You know why I know she's okay with it? Because John the Baptist showed up and he began to preach to them, and she got mad. If she wasn't okay with their relationship, you say, well, he's the king. He can have whoever he wants. She was okay with it because she was mad that the preacher was preaching against her sin. And she went to Herod, and Herod said, man, this guy's a good preacher. Man, I like this guy. Man, I like this preaching. And she said, I want his head. She was mad because why? He was preaching against her sin. And she got upset. So we find a brawling woman. She was a loose woman. We find out she hated the preacher. In verse number 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. Who? John the Baptist. I mean, she was going around to every other woman talking about the preacher. She was running him down and getting upset about decisions and things. Why? Because she was upset that the preaching came home to her house. She got mad about it. A brawling woman. She was a conniving woman. A conniving woman. In verse number 21, it says, what a convenient day. What was convenient? It wasn't convenient for Herod. It was his birthday, but it was convenient for her. She finally found a way to get to the preacher. She finally found a way to slither in and get to the preacher. We find this brawling woman. There's verse after verse after verse. The Bible said it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 21:19. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. I said it twice. Proverbs has a lot to say on this subject. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I tell you right now, ladies of our church and women and families of our church, if you're not right with God, you will wreak havoc on your home, on your husband, on your family. There's been more families leave our church because the wife was mad at the preaching. And the family's completely out of church. Some of those men are drunks today. They would rather be a drunk and have to put up with her. Amen? That's the only way they can put up with us being a drunk. If I lived with her, I'd probably be a drunk too. We find the Baptist preacher. We find the birthday boy. We find the brawling woman. And this is the one I want to preach on today. We find the belly dancer. We find the belly dancer, the daughter of Herodias. There's a couple things we know about this girl before I get into the meat of the message here. We find that she was from a split home, because that wasn't Herod's daughter. That was Philip's daughter. And we find that this young lady was having to live in a difficult situation. She was from a split home. I want to tell every person in here, everybody that listens online, that, man, that's a rough situation to be in. That's a rough situation. Now, sometimes it's unavoidable. This young lady, I'm sure she did not have a choice that her mama left her dad and went and married the king. She didn't have a choice in the matter. She was from a split home. We also find out that she was an older girl and maybe a teenager or a young adult here. And she grew up and had some very low morals. She had some very low standards in her life. And I understand that as I look at this girl this morning, this belly dancer, that I'm viewing a young lady that came from a broken home, and I'm viewing a young lady that more than likely was lost. There's no proof in our text that this family was a saved family. There's none at all. I understand that I'm looking at a young lady that maybe was lost, and she came from a broken home, and she came from a bad situation. I want to say before I go any further in the message that even if that is the testimony of somebody here or the testimony of somebody listening, the grace of God is sufficient, and God can take your life and He can put you in a good home and He can straighten things up and He can give you a family that honors and glorifies God. Even if you come from a background like that, God's grace is sufficient. But I understand with what I'm about to preach, we're coming from the viewpoint of a young lady that wasn't saved, and she was from a broken home, and she was doing what the world does. She was just doing what was acceptable and what lost people do. We get mad when we see our family at a hotel and we're trying to go down to breakfast and the women come down and they're naked. The Bible said if anything is exposed from the shoulders down to the knee, if anything's exposed, that's considered nakedness. That's what the Bible teaches. And so if it's exposed, they're showing nakedness. Amen. And things are getting shorter and they're getting lower and they're showing all. So you see this everywhere. And we get upset about it. But Brother Daniel, they're just doing what lost people do. They're just doing what lost people do. But what breaks my heart about what I'm about to preach, this woman raised a worldly child. She's lost. But what breaks my heart is I'm seeing people in church raising worldly children. I want to look at just for a moment on this thought, raising a worldly child. We see an example of one right here. We see one here. There's some things about her raising, but as I travel around and get to preach in other churches and see things and see other so-called Christians, I went not long ago downtown Birmingham to go get a cup of coffee, trying to buy Brother Stephen a cup of coffee and be a blessing, and it backfired on me. And I went down there, and BJCC, it's right downtown, and there's young people everywhere. And man, they were dressed awful. My first thought was, these young people, they must be some college students or high school students about to compete in something. I mean, they're everywhere. They all had name tags on and little things. I couldn't really read what it said, but they were everywhere. There were thousands of them. They were all over the place. There was a big old group of them outside of the coffee shop. And I said, I'm going to go in here and order my coffee before they do. What I didn't realize is they all had already ordered and were out there waiting on their coffee. But I went up to one young man. I said, "Hey, are you guys with colleges or high schools, or is it a math competition?" Or I mean, some of them look like nerds. What are y'all doing? He said, "No, we're church groups, and we're having a youth conference." And I'm telling you, it was awful. It was awful. There was a young lady sitting down, and I don't want to get too graphic, but when they were sitting down, you could see things that men should not be looking at on another woman. I know it's quiet in here, and I fully anticipated this. And you say, "We got a good." I thank God for it. I'm trying to warn you: if we don't be careful, we're going to raise some worldly children. We're going to raise some worldly children. And what I'm finding out about this girl, there's some things that we know in this text. You say, there's not a lot there, but I believe there is some things there that we need to be warned about as parents and as grandparents with our children. And I'm telling you right now, we're producing some worldly children. Brother Brent preached an excellent message. It's a message that's going to be referred to for a long time on loving God. And we need kids to fall in love with Jesus. But I'm telling you, the way that you raise them is going to either point them to Christ or they're going to point them the other direction. You're either going to push them to the world or push them to church. And I want to say a few things about this young lady, this belly dancer, the daughter of Herodias, that I saw in her raising that unfortunately we see in young people in churches, not here but all over. And one thing I find is that she was prepared by her parents for this day. This young lady, this daughter, is up dancing provocatively in front of the king and all these men. But what was sad was her parents set her up for this. Her mama prepared her for this day. The way that she was raised, she was comfortable to do this. The way that she was raised, she felt okay with this. I don't find in this text where she said, "Mama, I don't want to get up and dance in front of these men." I don't find that. I find out where she asks her mom, "What do you want me to ask for?" She was comfortable dancing like this. She had done it before. She had probably been coached. I imagine this young lady probably grew up in beauty pageants. I imagine this young lady probably grew up having the makeup put on her, and she had all the fancy dresses, and she had all these things, and she was paraded in front of people for her to dance and for her to act and for her to do these things to get the approval and the applause of men. She was prepared for this day. Parents today, they don't understand that every decision they make with their children is preparing them for something. The Bible said in Matthew 14:8, you don't have to go look at it, but this is the parallel passage. The Bible said, "And she, being before instructed of her mother," her mom prepared her for this day. In everything you do with your children and their raising, it's preparing them for something. We have young ladies that we read about in the news. We have young ladies that we know personally. I've got good pastor friends who their daughters have taken their own lives. Dear friend of mine down in Louisiana, her daughter took her own life. What happened? Nobody really knows the full story, but she was heavily involved in social media, heavily involved in wanting to be approved and wanting to be liked. I want to tell the children, I preach this often, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Who cares if they don't like your outfit? Who cares if they think you're ugly? You're not. You're beautiful in the eyes of God, and you don't have to have all the makeup. You don't have to have all the changes. God loves you the way you are. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. But mamas, you raise your little girl and you're covering them in makeup and you're changing their dress, and all you're telling them is the way that God made them is not good enough. If your boys have to have a certain type of clothing and you have to have name brand stuff and you've got to make changes to their body and changes to the things that they do, you're trying to tell them that they're not good enough. She was prepared for this day.
She was prepared by her parents. How did she know what to do? How did she know how to do these dances? How did she know it was allowed in her home? She was prepared for this day. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You're training your children. You're raising your children. You're pointing them in a direction. And if you're raising them with entertainment, you're pointing them in that direction. If you're raising them with the worldly music and you're raising them with those things, you are pointing them in that direction. We find that about this woman. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Can I get an amen, kids? You know why you should say amen, some of y'all? Because you're not dead. Thank God that he created a place. Amen. He created a special place so that no matter how much you're beat, that's what the Bible says, you shall not die. Isn't that good? And thank God you're in a home where your dad beats you in that spot and doesn't beat you other places. There's some parents that don't do it right. They don't do it right, but God gave you a place. Amen. Say amen, John. Amen. That was weak. That was like eating the crackers yesterday. It was weak. He that spareth his rod, listen, parents, hateth his son. Herodias, I'm going to go and say it. She hated her daughter. Why would you say that? Why would you prostitute your child for gain? You don't love your child. You selfish, wicked person. We find some things about this woman, about this young lady, her raising. The Bible says, I'm going to finish that verse, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Amen? Man, this is the fifth time today. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Amen? One day it'll make a connection from here to here. But give up, and I'm telling you, you're going to raise a brat. And you're training them towards the world. You know why these people are coming out of colleges today and their pants are, they're trying to hold up their pants with one hand and hold a sign with the other? They were raised that way. Amen? Not only do we find out about this young lady, she was prepared by her parents, but number two, she was prostituted by her mother. Prostituted by her mother. We find in Leviticus 19:29, the Bible says in the law, do not prostitute thy daughter. Now, why would you have to say that? But God told him that. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. This is God's people. Do not do that. Mother, if you're holding the phone while your daughter's creating a TikTok, you are helping her be a prostitute. Amen? And some of these foolish mothers are jumping in there with them. I'm telling you, we need God's people to start being God's people again and not raising worldly children. We're losing a generation, and we're losing them. I'm down there at the BJCC, and there are thousands of Christian so-called kids, and I'm telling you, it's one of the most worldly things I've ever seen in my life. Brother Andrew, do I got to do all these things to be right with God? No, your heart needs to be right with God. You need to love God. You need to love God. The preacher said the other night, more than the pleasures of this world. When you raise your children and you're assisting them in some of these worldly activities, boys or girls alike, you're prostituting them to the world. We ought to raise children to please God. I'm personally okay with sports and things like that, but that is not our God. Man, would to God we'd have some young people say, hey, I'm giving my life to serve the Lord. And you know what that means? That means I'm going to dress right. That means I'm going to live right because I want to honor God and His testimony. When somebody looks at us and they say, hey, why are you here? Well, I'm here because of church. And they say, well, you look like a Christian. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Other than saying, oh my goodness, you're a what group? A church group? Man, I'd be ashamed of myself. Amen. Christ is not being magnified. You are. We find out that, I'm going to hurry along. She was prepared by her parents. She was prostituted by her mother. Another thing I find out about this young lady is she was just trying to please her parents. She wanted her mother's approval. She could have asked Herod for anything up to half the kingdom. She could have asked for money. She could have asked for anything. But all that little girl wanted was her mom's approval. Parents, dad, mom, your kids, what they really, really, really want is to make you happy. And if they see that you're enamored by the entertainment of this world, if they see that you love the music and you love those things, they're going to do what makes you happy. I gave a testimony a couple weeks ago, and most everybody was here that heard it. I'm going to give it again just for the sake of the message, of the song that I heard where the dad was sitting at the kitchen table that Sunday morning. The mom got up getting ready to go to church, and she's making breakfast, and she asked her husband, and she said, will you go to church with me today? And he goes, no, I'm not going to church. I've never gone. I'm not starting now. I'm going to go to that place that's made for me. I'm okay with it. And then the lady looked over at her 5-year-old son and said, will you go to church with me today? And he goes, no, I'm going with Daddy in that place that's made for him. That little boy just wanted to follow his dad. And in the song, the dad started crying and said, I'm going to church, man. I don't want my 5-year-old going to hell. Amen. Parents, it's not, when you're raising your children, it's not just what you tell them to do. It is what you show them. And they want to please you, and they want Daddy to be proud of them, and they want Mama to be proud of them. And hey, I'm telling you, the way that you're raising them, how they act sometimes, you might get frustrated, but it might be that they're just trying to please you. You might get upset by some decisions they make, but they might just be trying to please you because they think that's what you like. Because that's the vibe they got. Daddy, I just thought that you would like this. Daddy, I just thought that you'd be proud of me for doing this. Daddy, I see the way you look at them other women, so I'm going to be like them so you'll notice me. It's a dangerous thing. She just wanted to please her mom. She just wanted the approval of her mother. What do our kids do just to get our approval? This is a side note to this message, but man, I tell you, we get so busy. I'm guilty of this. So busy that we don't take just a few minutes to teach our children something or to let them work with us or let them do something. Amen? You don't give them attention, mom and dad. I promise you there's somebody that will. And if you put a television screen in front of them or a screen in front of them, I'm telling you they're being programmed. I don't care how innocent the show is. They need to learn about some things from you, not from the world. We find out about this young lady. She was prepared by her parents. She was prostituted. All she wanted to do was please her parents. We find out that she was a very provocative young lady. The way that you dress your children means something. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm telling you, the way when you get up and you walk out the door, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. You represent your family. You represent your church. It means something. My clothing don't mean nothing. It absolutely means something. The last thing about this young lady we find out is she was polluted. She was polluted. Her purity was taken from her. It had to have been taken from her at a young age. Her mind, her heart, her body, her emotions, all that was polluted. That a young lady can get up in front of a bunch of men and dance naked and dance provocatively in front of them, I'm telling you, they're sick in the head. That's not natural. A young lady should have a meek and quiet spirit. A young lady should respect herself. A young lady should not want to expose herself. But this girl was happy to do so. She was polluted. I'm telling you right now, parents, you can protect your children all you want to, and you need to do that. But this world, I mean, you walk out in public, they're going to be exposed to things. Right? It's going to happen. But what's sad is when you bring it in your home. What's sad is when you introduce it to your children. This young lady's mind, there's young ladies that I've talked to, 12, 13 years old, that they've experienced more, they've seen more, they've done more things than some adults have done. Young ladies that are addicted to pornography, young men that are addicted to these things. Their mind has already been corrupted. Their mind is already, their emotions. Young ladies that are 10, 11, 12 years old don't need a boyfriend. They don't need their heart broke three or four times before they become old enough to have a boyfriend. They don't need all that. And that comes from parents, how they raise their children. I've seen parents, foolish parents, they'll take their small children, I mean, 9, 10 years old, and they got a little boyfriend or girlfriend, and they think it's so cute that they're holding hands. They think it's cute. Well, mama, you think your little girl's cute doing that? How cute do you think it'll be when you're raising her your grandbaby? You think that's going to be real cute? When that deadbeat boy later on, that you allowed him to put his hands all over her. And now you're raising a grandchildren. Young ladies, boys have no business putting their hands anywhere close to you until I do's are done in front of the Lord. Period. End of sentence. And that's Bible. She was polluted. Brother Daniel, she knew the music. She knew the lyrics. She knew the dances. I see young people today, they know every new TikTok dance. And some of y'all don't even know what that is, and thank God for it. They know every dance and every motion. As soon as the song comes on, their body starts moving. I'm telling you, young Christian boys and girls, they shouldn't know those things. They shouldn't have the opportunity to know those things. When a song comes on, they shouldn't know the lyrics to start singing. But I'm telling you right now, the last couple years of youth camp and the last couple years of traveling around to churches, the kids are singing the songs. I'm talking about in the youth groups. They're doing the dance moves, whatever the newest dance. I saw some boys, they look like a bunch of just got out of the mental institute, twisting and doing something. I said, what are y'all doing at camp this past year? What are you doing? It's some kind of new dance thing. Why do you know that? And parents will laugh. Isn't that funny? Isn't that cute? Let me record it and put it online. She had already been exposed to these things. She knew the music, the lyrics, the dances, the filth. She was comfortable to dance in front of those men. The question this morning is, parents, what is your raising, how you're raising your children, what is it teaching them? Is it teaching them to love the Lord? Is it teaching them to fall in love with this? Is it teaching them to trust God, as we heard this morning? And there may be some in here this morning say, preacher, I've not done it right. Again, I'm thankful for grace and mercy. And it would be something, and probably would gain some respect from your children, if you were to sit them down and say, I'm sorry, I've made some mistakes. This doesn't please Christ. Because you understand that all these things, this lyrics, this music, these dances, all these things, they're constantly changing, they're constantly evolving. and they're constantly trying to please your flesh, but the end result is misery. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's young people taking their lives. It looks like fun. It looks like a bunch of games right now, but there's people drunk. They're on needles. They're on dope. The end result is misery. But I'm telling you, a life with Jesus Christ is the best thing you'll ever have. How are we raising our children? Miss Sarah, you come. Every head bowed. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is Christ important? Listen, I know this is a hard message. I understand, but as a pastor, this is what God told me to preach. Parents, listen, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have your children ever seen you pray for them? Is Christ important in your home? Is the Bible important? I would think church is important. Most everybody here is faithful, and I'm thankful for it. Is pleasing and loving Christ the main concern in our home? Or is it entertainment in the world? Miss Sarah's going to start playing. There's some that have come this morning. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, would you humble your pride? Would you talk to the Lord about it? Maybe some of you got kids that need to be prayed for. Maybe some of your grandparents and your children are raising kids. And man, they need God. If God don't get in the thing, it's not going to be good. If God doesn't do something. You see, because every generation that gets farther from God eventually ends up with a generation that doesn't know God. Some of you were raised in a good, godly home. You were raised with some standards in your home. You were raised in a home that tried to please Christ. But you've lowered your standards some in your home. And guess what? Your son and your daughter is going to lower them in their home. And eventually you're going to have some family in your lineage that doesn't even know who God is. It's proven over and over again in the Scriptures. I feel bad for this young lady I just preached about. And as I mentioned earlier, the grace of God is sufficient. And I don't know, that young lady, maybe after she held the head of John the Baptist, the preacher, maybe she began to feel some conviction. I don't know. I pray she got saved one day. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I pray she did. But I feel bad for her because she was raised this way. She dies and goes to hell. That falls on her parents. They had one of the greatest preachers. God said in His Word that John, there was none greater than John the Baptist. One of the greatest preachers ever to walk the face of this earth. Preach to them. What an opportunity they had. Church, I love our church. And I want to see God do something in your home and in your young people, in your marriage, in your life. What an opportunity we have to serve the Lord in this dark, dark world, to be a light. Amen. You can look up here. I appreciate you being good listeners this morning. And church, I do want to say that I do love you. People leave and they'll say I'm mean or angry or hate, you know, whatever. But I don't. I promise, if I didn't love you, I would not preach the way that I do. I wouldn't. There's a lot of things I could preach and there's a lot of things I could do. But Christ wouldn't be pleased. Amen. I want to see God do something with our homes. And I don't. We just had a youth rally. And I don't want 5 years from now. I think the Lord's coming back before then. I really do. But if He tarries, Brother Daniel, I don't want you to show back up in 5 years at our youth rally and walk in and say, this doesn't even look like a church group. You say, well, that won't happen to us. I could take you to a lot of churches this morning. Well, you'll walk in and you won't recognize the people in there as being Christians. Amen? We want to magnify Christ. Lift Him up. Love Him. Please Him with everything that we have.